Take a deep breath, because we're about to go somewhere in the next few weeks that's going to put a hair on our chests, which is great for boys, because boys like hair on the chest, but apparently girls don't like hair on the chest, because that's what you use Veet for, and shaving, to shave off hair. But if you're a guy, you want hair on your chest. Now, rewind, last term, okay? We looked at the series called Paint the Town Red, where we said that we want to identify friends that aren't okay. You know the story. I mean, I don't have to probably say this again. But that we would pray for them. We would chill and connect with them. We will listen to their story. We would share our story. We'll tell God's story. We would invite them, not to youth necessarily, but to follow Jesus, to be a Jesus follower. And we would even begin to help them grow. Enter the encounter book, which we want to do something with on a Friday night, as part of a Friday night. More of that if you come on a Friday. And so that's what we were focusing on, okay? Now, for some weird reason, we're launching the series called Unashamed. This is specifically designed for Vincent to not be ashamed any longer. I want you to watch this, and here's an example of not being ashamed. Are you ready? Kill all those lights. Here we go.
Are you ashamed to say that you play Yu-Gi-Oh when someone asks you? They say, do you play Yu-Gi-Oh? Or, what card game is that? All you got to do is say, I play Yu-Gi-Oh. I play Yu-Gi-Oh. That is all you got to say. You do not have to be ashamed of playing Yu-Gi-Oh. Ashamed of playing Yu-Gi-Oh.
To play Yu-Gi-Oh! What are you ashamed of? Okay, find someone next to you and think about, this may be the hardest question you ever answer. Is there anything you're ashamed of? Ashamed to admit, okay? Turn to someone next to you and tell them, I'm not ashamed of. Pop your eyes out if you need to. A census worker comes knocking at my door. All of you know that it's Census 2011. A very sweet young lady knocking at the door. Please, sir, can I come in and take a bit of your time? An hour later, I am officially counted. This week has all been about standing up and being counted. Being counted that you are a part of this country. They are rather proud of their country. I'm not sure I'd want to be painted like that when South Africa's just lost to, like, Ivory Coast or something in football or something, you know? Because you want to go into the toilet quickly and wash it off and paint the other flag on your face. But that's patriotic, right? That is proudly South African. How many of you are proudly South African? I mean, is it just a campaign on TV? Here's one of the campaigns that happened a while ago. You know, there was a time that I wasn't proud to be a South African. There was a time when South Africa wasn't a place that we were proud of. We were shunned by the rest of the world, you know? It's not a South Africa that many of you really grew up in, or you were at the tail end of it, but you didn't know, and we weren't proud. We couldn't travel because South Africa was classed as that horrendous country down at the tip of Africa that treats people so badly. But as the transition happened, a pride grew up within us that we are the example of a country that had been through what could have been a bloody revolution, and we had come out the other side because of some of the people maybe we saw in that clip, like Desmond Tutu and Nelson Mandela, who led us into a better place. And the work still has to happen, but we're proud of this country, aren't we? We're proud of what it is. It got me thinking about whether I'm proudly Christian to the same extent that I'm proudly South African. And I guess the answer, you know, if we come here Sunday morning, we come to church, the answer should be, of course we are. But I wonder how many of us have actually nailed our colors to the mast. Have you heard that English phrase before? You nail your colors to the mast. Anyone heard it? Anyone know where it comes from? I think there's a hint there with a ship and a flag. I'll play you a bit of a historical account that I dug out of the archives at the museum, okay? Are you ready for this?
As at one point, Duncan's flagship, Venerable, was engaged by three Dutch ships at the same time, resulting in significant damage. It was aboard this ship that the legend of Jack Crawford was born. Whilst under heavy fire, Duncan's flag had been shot away from the mast. As this could have been interpreted as a sign of surrender, seaman Jack Crawford was launched into legend as he climbed the shattered mast to reattach the flag. It was here that the English language received another of the many naval phrases into its consciousness, as Crawford nailed his colours to the mast. The Battle of Camperdown lasted for 2.5 hours, and the outcome was a decisive victory for the British, capturing 7 ships of the line, 2 fourth-rates and 2 frigates.
So in this famous battle, where the British and the Dutch are fighting each other, one of the British ship's flags gets shot down because the top of the mast gets shot down. And that would either be a sign of surrender, basically. I surrender. I take down my colors. I'm not proud, you know, to be British or whatever. I'm taking it down. This young guy, Jack Crawford, and you can see that museum in the UK to this day, he climbs up and apparently nailed it with his musket, his old-fashioned weapon, and he nails that colors to the mast. They are basically saying, we ain't surrendering. When you fly the flag, there's another phrase also from that, you are proud of what you represent. And I guess if it wasn't for him, there wouldn't have been that courage in the people. There was another situation where colors were nailed to a mast, if you like, where he was nailed to a cross for you and I. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be strung up for you. This verse kind of shook me, these two verses, when I read it this week. It goes like this. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. That's a nice part. Jesus is like, hey, my guys, I'm going to like, you know, you acknowledge me, you tell people about me, I'm going to do you before the dad. Like, dad, check this, refill well, like awesomeness, you know? But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. What the heck? Jesus is like, disown me and I'll disown you. There's another translation of it, even makes it even more common language. If anyone tells people that he knows me, I will also tell the Father in heaven that I know him. Yeah, Dad, I know that dude. But if anyone who tells people does not know me, I will also tell my Father in heaven that I don't know him. It sounds like Jesus is saying, if you don't want to know me, that's cool, then I don't know you. I died for you, and you can come home at any time, but if you tell people you don't know me, I got to thinking about, there was a campfire one night and a young guy was approached by a little servant girl. And she said, weren't you with Jesus? I recognize you as one of his disciples. And he says, like, I don't know the man. 3 times. And he swears, he curses. He says, damn, I ain't one of those followers of Jesus. I don't even know the man. I'm not interested in him. This is one of Jesus' closest disciples, Simon Peter, denying that he even knows Jesus. Not a nice moment in his life as the cock crows and he realized Jesus said, you would deny me and disown me 3 times. There's another verse I found that says, if you suffer for being a Christian, and there are places where you will physically suffer for being a Christian, maybe even at your school. I know there are countries where this happens big time. Don't feel ashamed, but praise God for being called that name, that you are called a Christian. If I suffer, if someone judges me and like pokes fun at me, I should like, hey, it's awesome. I am worthy to be called a follower of Jesus. Sounds like Jesus expected that this was going to happen. And the verse that I want to hang on for the series is, it goes like this. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16. Let's say it together. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I guess you could say, you could replace not ashamed with I'm proud. I'm proud of the gospel we spend weeks exploring what the gospel is, that God made us perfect and sinless and that we rebelled against him, but that when we incurred that punishment of death, he came and redeemed us through the death of his son. And all I have to do is look to Jesus and I'm saved. That's the power of the gospel that is able to translate me out of Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of God. I am not ashamed, really. Really. Is that true? You know, if I'm really, let's have a moment of real honesty right now. Am I really not ashamed of the gospel? Will I wear a t-shirt like that? Hell no. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So another one. Jesus. Yes, it says Jesus on my t-shirt, and I'm not ashamed because he was not ashamed of me on the cross. But you go, Dan, wear that. Did you see the actor on Friday night, old Eric? He had that shirt that said God's boy. You know, I think I saw it on the night, but then when I was posting the pictures on Facebook last night, I was like, hey, that's a really cool shirt. God's boy. Would you wear your colors? Would you nail your colors to the mast? Would you nail a little piece of paper on your head, bang it into your head like Homer Simpson often does, banging things in, with a nail that says, I'm a follower of Jesus. Unashamed? Until someone comes and says, are you one of those followers of Jesus? Are you really? Did I see you once go to that Christian group at Big Break at school? Like, what's with you? They're a bunch of dorks. Did you really? Well, I'm not really. You know, it's like when a girl says to a guy, so are you with anyone? He's got a girlfriend of 3 years. He's like, well, not really. There's this girl that like I kind of know, and we're like, yeah, but not really. You want me to be unattached? I'm unattached. You know? Are you part of Jesus' kingdom? Well, I kind of know him for a couple years, but do you want me to be on your side? I'll be on your side. You know? Unashamed. There's a cool verse that says, Jesus is not ashamed to be called your big brother or big sister. He's obviously pretty much a guy, I guess. But Jesus is not afraid to be called your big brother. He says, you know what? You're my sister. You're my brother. He's not ashamed. Am I ashamed of him? I mean, imagine if Jesus is ashamed of me right now in heaven. I don't know who you're ashamed of, you know? There's people that we were ashamed of in the old South Africa. We were ashamed to call some of those lads our president and stuff. Because it's like, dude, you're doing bad stuff. Like, what the heck? I guess there's some politicians now some of us get ashamed of on some days when they open their mouth and stick their feet in their mouth. And maybe it's time to come out the closet. And I'm not talking in the gender sense. You know, guys, let's come out of the closet now, or girls. But maybe it's time to come out. And we spend so much of our time trying to blend in. What do you see in there? A chameleon. You know, he's just like totally blended in. I don't want to stick out. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to be like in your face. I just want to wear like a little badge. You know, you can like look really close to what it is. But world changers stick out. You won't change the world if you blend in all the time. You won't do anything significant if you don't stick out. Here's what Jesus called his followers to. It's oldest, 2,000 years old. But he said, I want you to be salt and light. I want you to be salt in the meat. I want you to be light. He even speaks about being a city on a hill. If you've ever traveled to Jerusalem, you know that you can't miss Jerusalem. You know, come down the Kidron Valley, you'll see Jerusalem. It's big, ne? James, you've been there. You can see the city. It's a city on a hill. It's like loud and proud, and that you know, the temple, the dome and everything is like, wow, impressive, awesome. It's a city. You can't miss it. If you're driving on the N3 from Durban towards Johannesburg, at a certain point around the other side of Heidelberg, you're like, wow, look at those towers. Joburg, we're really nearly home. Jesus says, you need to be a city on a hill. You need to be loud and proud, unashamed. And the whole week I've been thinking that, you know, Jesus wasn't ashamed to go and string himself up on a hill for us, naked. It's like, I'll die for you. I'll throw my dignity away for you. And am I like a little ashamed of him? Am I hiding behind, you know, like, I don't want anyone to see me. It's like, just open up a little crack and... Let's face it. I am ashamed if I don't either show with my actions that I'm a follower of Jesus, or tell with words that I'm a follower of Jesus. If either of those I'm not doing, and both are valid, okay? Let's think for a moment about the show without words. There was a time when Jesse was serving some guys. I don't know how many of you were there. Pepsi, it's a long time back. But we were out at that McDonald's on the other side by Melville. Anyone remember that day? It's like, wait, were you there? No. We're talking even early days of Andrew Folkson's time with us. And he set this up with Julius, and Jesse was like serving, and there was like an awesome stew that we were serving. And I thought that was a picture of not preaching at people, but showing the love of God in a practical way. And you can do all sorts of things to show the love of God. Preach the gospel, said Francis of Assisi, and if necessary, use words. Always preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. So even if you've got no mouth, it's been erased, and you can't speak, or you're like the guy in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Video clip who shouldn't really speak, except he's really funny. Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. In other words, my life is going to show and tell that God is real. And tell with words. Because there comes a time when I can't just rely on my actions. People often ask me, so what do you actually do? The census lady says to me, so what do you actually do? I'm a pastor. She says, oh, so you preach. So I said, well, it's funny you say that, because I only spend about 2 hours a week preaching. You know, so obviously that's not all I do. What else do you do? Well, I don't know. I set up the table tennis table. You know, go to schools and preach, I guess. And we've got a nice new table tennis table, thanks to the kids ministry. Thank you very much. And I guess this idea of tell is just to introduce someone to Jesus. That's what we've been talking about in this whole Paint the Town Red series. That I'm going to introduce one of my mates to Jesus. I follow Jesus, I want you to. It's kind of like every time on Facebook, hey, you know this person, you might want to know this person. You know what I mean? You follow them, maybe you should follow them too. It's like, no, I don't know them. But if I know someone really special, I'm going to want someone else to know them too, right? If I meet like the grandest person, I'm going to say, hey, come meet this person. This person is really cool. Listen to this clip.
You have to preach the gospel in order for people to respond. If you profess to be a believer in Jesus Christ, you're preaching the gospel. And so, listen, church, what kind of message are you preaching? What kind of life are you living? Because when we cower down in the face of suffering, we preach. When we say we believe in Christ and we live a different way, we preach. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this world, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father and the angels of heaven. Friends, are you ashamed of the gospel? Imagine what it's like to see Jesus face to face and realize that you turned your back on him. Thanks be to God that Jesus was not ashamed to go to the cross and die naked for you and I. Thank God Jesus was not ashamed of you. Now this is the question. Are you ashamed of the gospel?
I thought of finding a way to soften this message and make it like light and bubbly. But it's serious, right? This is probably the most serious thing we've considered in the last, I don't know, 92 gazillion years together that we've been together in this week. It's, am I ashamed of the gospel? And I want you to sit on that this week. I want you to think about that. I want you to say, God, challenge me, you know? Let me be bold for you. I'm not saying run out and buy a geeky t-shirt. If you can find a really cool t-shirt, which you can, that makes it loud and proud, that's cool too. But show with your actions. Tell with your words. Because I think that's what's holding us back from painting the town red. We want to explore in this series, what is it that's holding us back? How can we communicate better? And that's why a lot of our Friday night events are designed to help you communicate. And there'll be a lot more chance for you to speak, even on Sunday mornings. Watch the space for some of you actually communicating a whole lot more. Maybe Testimony Sunday coming in the I'm Not Ashamed series. Are you up for this? I want us to play a music video before we wrap up, and you can chill a bit because we're nice and early.